size. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. And his armor, look at this. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you, heart and soul. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, O God. We just ask that you just reach us this morning, O God. Touch our hearts and minds and spirits, O God. Let us get a word from you, O God. Let the word be clear and concise, O God. Let it be a word of encouragement, O God. Let it be a word of inspiration, O God. Let it be a word that you would have us to hear this morning, O God. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. And so for the children, I'm not going to necessarily do what we normally would do, but I do think that while I'm not going to do an outline today, I'm actually going to have a storyboard for you. So I truly believe that in this storyboard, you'll be able to follow exactly what's going on. Amen? Yes. Amen. And so let me tell you a little story really quick. I grew up, well, not necessarily grew up, but when I was a little kid, I lived over in an area called Velda Village. I'm just curious, has anyone heard of that area? It's kind of in the Normandy kind of area. I grew up, and in fact, I grew up right next door to City Hall. I lived on a street called Glenmore. Now, back in the day, there used to be this big Snooks that was right there, and Uncle Leonard's TV rental. I used to always go in and like rent my little movies or whatever. I was just a little kid. And I went to a school called McKinley. Now, McKinley was like the elementary school for Normandy High School. So you all familiar with that area? In that area, there was a whole bunch of hills and stuff like that. And I mean, that's when life was all good. You know when life was where you can like come home from school and get your cereal and, you know, and you waiting on mom then to come home and cook. It was such a phenomenal time because we had just then upgraded from, I tease Donna about this all the time, we upgraded from King Vitamin to Captain Crunch. Now, I know for some of you, you may not understand what I'm talking about, but for some of you, that's a really, really big deal. I used to come home, and I used to be like, man, I can't wait to get in here and watch He-Man and Voltron and just do all that I can do. And I was like, man, this is just, I mean, life was really, really good. I'm talking about back in the day, for those who are either my age, maybe a little older because you had kids, we had Trapper Keepers, you remember that? We had Trapper Keeper, and we had lunch boxes, and in a lunch box, it had, like, who your favorite cartoon character was. You might even have bed sheets to match and everything. You all understand where I'm coming from? I want you to see the joy that I had. I had a bunch of joy until this one day. Until this day, I was coming home from school, and we had this guy, and this guy was terrorizing the entire neighborhood, Brian. I mean, he was straight up, he was one of them old school bullies, you know. And let me tell you his name. His name was Duffy. His name was Duffy, everybody. Now, everything was all good with me because I was able to go home and Duffy would never, ever, ever bother me. So, you know, I'm just walking home every day, got my Trapper Keeper in one hand. I got my lunchbox in my other hand. So life is all good until the day that Duffy decided to mess with me. Now, I was kind of scared of Duffy. I ain't going to even lie. Anybody ever been kind of scared of somebody a little bit, you know what I mean? But you really didn't want to show up. But deep down, you was like, man, I really hope Duffy don't mess with me, you know. You were one of the ones that would laugh at everything Duffy said and did because you didn't want him to mess with you. I'm the only one, right? Okay. All right, no problem. I'm just being transparent. And so Duffy wanted to mess with me one time, and I was like, man. And then Duffy, one time, because he saw I wasn't giving in, Duffy went and got some backup. And guess who he went and got? He went and got his brother. And guess what his name, this is the true story. Guess what his name was? Puffy. So now, you all, I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to amuse you. I'm not trying to entertain you. I'm just telling you what's real. So now I got Duffy and I got Puffy. They own me. You know what I mean? And so now I got the kind of parents, and I don't mean to impugn anybody. I don't know if this may have been you, but I got the kind of parents, if I would have went home and told them that Duffy was messing with me, they would have told me, you better get back there and you better beat Puffy or Duffy up or else you're going to have to deal with me. So now I'm sitting there like, now wait a minute, I'm gonna get beat up by Duffy and Puffy, and I gotta go home and take another beating? What? You know, so now I'm getting frustrated because I really, like, man, I gotta do something. And so, you know, you hear those stories where your mom, you know, right, wrong, indifferent, tell you, you better pick up a brick and bust Duffy upside his head. And I'm like, so I'm walking by the graveyard. There's a graveyard that's over there. And again, I'm like, man, what are we gonna do? until one day, I had this guy, and this guy said, you know what, man, don't even worry about Puffy and Duffy. Because I got, and you know what Puffy and Duffy wanted? I can't make this up, I got to tell you this. They wanted my Huffy. I had a bike, and it was a BMX, and it was called a Huffy. I'm not making this up. Google it if you want to. So Puffy and Duffy, Pastor, were trying to take my Huffy. You can't get your Huffy taken, you know what I mean? I'd have been a taco to school. Like, yeah, we can get that. Next thing you know, they'd been taking my lunch money and my lunch box and my trapper keeper and everything, you know? And so now I'm sitting here like, man, Huffy and Puffy, they doing this and doing that, and they terrorizing the neighborhood. But I thank God that I had this one guy. He said, you know what, man, don't even worry about it. When Huffy and Duffy kind of step to you, I got your back. How many of you know it feels good to have somebody that's got your back? Now, how many know that Duffy came to me? And then I had to do what Mama said. Now, while I didn't pick up a brick, I kind of, somebody taught me this trick that if he stands up, you kind of put this leg around his leg and you push him. And as he was falling down, I kind of hit him as he was going down. I was watching too much G.I. Joe at the time. And you all probably saying, that's how it turned out. His mom and daddy was the worst or whatever. But I had to do what I had to do. How many of you going to sit there and let somebody just take your stuff and not fight back? Amen. You're going to do whatever you got to do to make sure that you can get what's yours. Amen. And so now I got Huffy and I got Puffy, but I got my friend that's really, really helping me in this situation. And so now I'm pretty enthused about life and what's going on. And I can say that Duffy and Puffy didn't take my Huffy and they never bothered me again. Amen? All right. So I wanted you to hear that because this is important. That's very important and essential to what we're going to discuss. Now, before we get into our lesson, we were dealing with chapter 14. What I want to do is kind of take you back to kind of set us up to where we are at this point right now. So when Saul became the king of Israel, the people had to go to the Philistines to buy iron tools, form tools. And then when those tools had become dull, they had to go back to the Philistines to have them sharpened since they wasn't allowed to have blacksmiths. But the Philistines, they were pretty smart, and they wouldn't sell any of their weapons of war to the people. And the only ones to have modern swords and spears were Saul, and Saul had a son, and his name was Jonathan. Do you all know who Jonathan is? All right, so let's keep it going. Now, Saul at this point had organized an army. So as king, Saul had organized his army of about 3,000 men. I want you to be mindful of that number. He had 3,000 men. Now, of those 3,000 men, 2,000 of them he personally oversaw. He was gracious enough to give his son Jonathan 1,000 men. The Bible talks about this. Now, Jonathan took his men and said, you know what? I'm getting ready to go and attack the Philistine outposts. I'm not going to sit around and wait on what you got going on. I'm going to be on attack. I'm going to take my resources, and I'm going to do what I got to do. Now, Saul at this point knew that this was an act of war, so he quickly tried to build his forces in preparation. Are you all following me? Okay. So now let's look at their reaction. So the Philistines reacted. So they marched into Israel. Now look at this number. They had, now you just saw what Saul had. Now let's look at what the Philistines said. Oh, so they say, oh, you want to fight, huh? I got something for you. We got 3,000 chariots. We got 6,000 horsemen. And we have a massive number of troops. Somebody say massive. Massive. The men of Israel, they were so terrified when they saw this huge army coming to the land. Now watch this. Most of the men in his army, they began to run for their lives. I'm having a hard time with this coming from the military. I'm just having a really hard time. You know, they hid wherever they could. They hid in caves. They was hiding behind rocks. I was watching a cartoon. When you get scared, when the big bad wolf come, you go and jump in that well. That's what they were doing. Some of them even left the country. And then that wasn't the bad thing. Look, some of them actually joined the Philistine army. I guess they figured if you can't beat them, you better join them, huh? Man, what kind of stuff is that? How many of you know that no matter what the enemy brings upon us, we're never going to join forces with the enemy? I don't care what that situation looks like. I'm not going to just throw in a towel and say, you know what? You got it. No, we're not going to do that. So God understands our fear, but I believe that he will give you strength to overcome any situation. Amen. I want to go to Judges really quick. And many of you know this story. Judges in chapter 7. Let me go here really quick. In chapter 7, what is it, verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11, it says, but if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Pura, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards, your hand shall be strengthened you to go down to the camp. Then he went down with Pura his servant to the outposts of the armed men were in the camp. Now, we know the story about how Gideon had to select the army. Gideon had chose all these men. God said, you know what? You got way too many men. I need you to get rid of some of them. And then he got rid of thousands of them. And then God said, no, you still got way too many of them. And then God said, you know what? I need you to understand that I know you might be afraid right now. I know everything seems to be stacked up against you. I know the enemy seems to be this massive amount of people. But guess what? I need you to begin to trust me. So I don't want us to get to a point in our life where we let our fear overcome our situation. It's natural to be feared, but when you trust God, everybody, when you begin to trust God, and we do know that Gideon came out to be victorious. Amen? Amen. Amen. I need us to understand that the minority always wins with God. The minority will always win with God. Now, we don't have to go to the scripture, but many of you know the story of Caleb and Joshua. So we know what God is going to do with the minority. Don't think for one moment that we have to be this big mega church in order for God to do something great and wonderful in this congregation. Don't think if God doesn't add another number to this congregation, guess what? We can still be great. Matter of fact, if God takes people away from this congregation, we can still be great and mighty because God is who he is. Amen? Now, obviously, I don't want to lose a member, but guess what? God is so good. God is really good. So now, Samuel gets some instructions. Samuel told the king, he said, look here, do not go into battle until you sacrifice to the Lord. And he given instructions. He told Saul, he said, look here, I want you to go to a particular place and I want you to wait for him and wait for me. So you all just say wait. Get that in your spirit. Just say wait. Yeah, so the king went to that place, but Samuel wasn't there. He waited 6 days. 6 days. Still, Samuel didn't come. How many of y'all know sometimes, man, when you're waiting on God, it may take a little while before he gives you an answer to what you're looking for? I want you to understand that a delay does not mean a denial. I need you to understand that sometimes God is saying, you know, I don't care, man. I know it looks rough sometimes. I know you get to a point where it's like Friday comes around, the weekend passes by, you've been praying for something, you've been asking God for something, and it just seemed to have manifest. But God is saying, if you just begin to trust me, I got this thing. But watch what happens. He waited. Samuel didn't come. So Saul watched that his men continued to desert the army. So finally on the seventh day, he felt he couldn't wait anymore. Somebody say, uh-oh. He got the things that he needed for the burnt offering or sacrifice, and then he offered it up. And then just as he finished doing what he was essentially told not to do, Samuel arrived, and Saul went to greet him, and the prophet said, what have you done? Have you ever seen somebody do something foolish in the Lord and you walk up to them and you're like, man, I just can't believe this, Pastor Will. What have you done? You know, many of us have been the recipients or of the things that, man, I can't believe I just did that. All because we didn't trust God. All because we didn't wait on God. So let's see what happens. Saul said, hey, look here. Sometimes when you don't trust God, you try to justify why you didn't do it, didn't you? You begin to make up all kind of excuses as to why you made the decisions that you made. So in the scripture, you will find out that Saul was like, hey, look here, the Philistines, they're about to attack. Why? He said, my army is leaving me. Remember, he had thousands of men. Now he was down to about only a few hundred. Then he said, I didn't know that I would have the Lord's help. Y'all see that? He said, I waited for you, but you didn't come, so I had no other choice. So I decided to act on my own. I had burnt the burnt offering to the Lord. But when Proverbs said, I trust the Lord with all my heart and do what? Don't lean to your own understanding. And that's what happens. Sometimes you got to get to a place of not leaning to your own understanding and begin to truly trust in the Lord. So Samuel came back and said, oh, my God, you acted like a complete fool. Didn't you realize this was a test just to give you a powerful testimony? Didn't you understand that? He said, you failed it. If you had only trusted God, then the Lord would have established your kingdom for Israel over time. Now, your kingdom won't last. Why? Because the Lord has already found a man after his own heart. How many of y'all know that every time that you go around and say David was a man after God's own heart, you really should be saying Jonathan was a man after God's own heart. But because of what Saul did, in other words, because your inability to wait on God, sometimes you're going to forfeit the very blessings that God is trying to bestow upon you, all because you acted on your own. I want you to understand that. So the Lord said, look here, I already found a man after my own heart now. And guess what? He's going to become the king. And God is going to establish his kingdom forever. Now, who was that? That was David. And it was supposed to go to Jonathan. But because of their inability to wait, I want you all to see this. So let's see what happens. So then Samuel turned and he left the king, and Saul counted his men, and he found that he only had 600 soldiers. The Philistines, they had camped on the top of the cliff, so they took control of this important pass that was below. So Saul took his army, and he camped out on top of the cliffs on the opposite side of the pass. And so that pretty much brings us to where we are today. And the title or the message or the idea or the subject I want to speak to you from today is, somebody cover me, I'm going in. Somebody cover me, I'm going in. Amen? Amen. So now, let's go to the scripture. It says, one day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who carried his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Say, Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah in the pomegranate cave at Migron. The people that were with him were about 600 men, including Ahijah and the son of Ahitub, Ishbosheth's father, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the priest of the Lord, and Shiloh wearing an ephod. And the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. And so the question I had to ask myself is, why didn't he tell his father? Perhaps he knew his father was going to say no. But here's my thing. I want you to understand that sometimes when God asks you to do something, you can't tell everybody what you're planning to do. You can't always tell everybody what God is trying to do for you, because everybody is always going to want to try to discourage you. They're going to say, hey, look here, why are you going to try to go and step and fight to that army? You ain't even got the numbers to win, right? Isn't it amazing how people can always encourage you to do the wrong thing, but they always discourage you to do the right thing? You ever notice that? They always encourage you to do what's wrong, but they never encourage you to do what's right. And so I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Jonathan, I'm looking at his fathers and the people that's around. I believe this: while faith goes into action, unbelief just sits still. When faith steps up and says, you know what, I'm getting ready to do something, unbelief just sits back and says, well, I'm not going to do anything. So when you look at the scripture, where is everybody? Now, when you go back and read the scripture, you'll see that Eli's family had been rejected by the Lord from their priesthood. So when you look at this, you have a rejected king, you got a rejected priest, and you got 600 men sitting around not doing anything at all. Watch this. Now, within the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a rocky crag on the other side and a rocky crag on the other side. The name of one was Boaz, and the name of the other was Sinai. The one crag rose in the north in the front of Michmash, and the other on the south of Geba. Now, here's what's going on. You got this deep valley with deep sides, and you got the Philistines that's sitting on the north side. But then you got Jonathan and his armor bearer approaching, and they're trying to approach from the south. Now, it's important that we know the names of these rocks. Now, Boaz means to be slippery. Now, Sinai means to be thorny. Now, I need you to know that essentially they stuck between a rock and a hard place. Because now they're trying to get to a place where they're trying to go and get their stuff back. Can you imagine trying to climb up this slippery rock? And then, matter of fact, if you get up there on your way down, it's going to be thorny. This is a real insurmountable situation that they find themselves in. And the enemy is sitting on top like, yeah, look at them, I got them. Because there's no way that you're going to attempt to try to climb this rock to get what's yours because of the conditions and situations that are before you. Amen? In other words, you can't let the circumstances of life and what it looks like try to derail you from going back to getting what's yours. Amen? You can't let the enemy stop you from going back to do what you have to do. And the enemy knows that. And they're sitting back like, yeah, they're not going to try to do anything because it seems to be too difficult. Now, you have a deep ravine that's almost impossible to pass. And why do I say almost? Because the Bible tells us that with man, what? Things are impossible. With God, what? All things are possible. So even when our situation looks like we're not going to be able to make it, God says, don't worry. And that's why I love the scripture. It says, do not judge by appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. That's why I'm so glad that God gives us discernment. Amen? Because sometimes we look at things and it doesn't look a certain way, and we say, well, no, I surely can't tackle that. But God lets us see things through his lens. Amen? Through a spiritual lens. I don't care about what it looks like naturally. I know that if I climb up this rock, I might have some hardships. It might hurt me as I'm climbing because everything is kind of thorny. I know I might slip down and fall, but that's okay. I'm still going to make my way up to the top. Why? Because I got to go get back what's mine. Amen? Watch this. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, he said, come, let us go up to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving many or by few. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in thy heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you, heart and soul. So now the question is, why is Jonathan so keen to attack? It's because the Philistines are sitting on the land that God has given to his people. Why wouldn't you want to go and attack and take back the very thing that God has given to you? When God has given something to you, you have now covenant and relationship with God. And God said, you know what? I'm going to bless you. You're my people. I'm giving you this. And now, would you just going to sit there and let somebody take what God has given you? How many are willing to do that? How many of y'all are just willing to sit there and just let God take everything that let the enemy take everything that God has essentially given you? You can't do that. Even if the situation looks like it's just impregnable, you got to go back and get what's yours. Why? Because you have an agreement with God. God set this thing apart for you. And you're going to let somebody else come and take your stuff? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I look at this verse 7. And this verse 7 says, you know what? His armor said, every bearer said, do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I'm with you, heart and soul. That's why I can look at you, Pastor Willie, and I can say, you know what? I'm with you all the way to the end. I may have a way that I think is better, but guess what? I'm going to trust God and believe God for everything that he's called you to do. Why? Because I believe that you are a man of God. I believe that he has given you a vision. Even though I may be smarter than you, even though I may have a better idea than you, I'm still going to have to believe God and trust God because I'm going to do it because I know that you are a man of God, and guess what? It's in your heart. So guess what? I'm going to position myself to follow that. That makes sense? You have to be in that kind of situation. And it ain't just about him. It's about everybody. It's about all of us. You want to do what's in thy heart? You know what? I know that, yeah, you know, you may have some good ideas, but I have one even better. Guess what? It doesn't matter. God is positioning me to be able to follow you because he's equipped me to make sure that I can take care of you. So now you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Why? Because you got somebody supporting and backing you up. That's where we have to be. That's the mindset that we have to have. No matter what, even when we don't agree on certain things, I'm still going to follow you. I'm going to trust you because I can see the outcome already. So I'm still going to be in a position. I'm going to avail myself to do exactly what God has called me to do. Let me tell you a story. So I'm sitting here. You all ever watch TV show? I know Miss Elise, you're a nurse. And I know Donna does this, and it's so funny because sometimes they watch these TV shows, and it's like they'll watch these medical shows, and people will be like dying, and they're supposed to be on like life support, but there's no lines or anything hooked up or whatever. And you'd be like, man, this ain't even real, right? So I don't know if you all watch these military shows and whatnot, but I was in the military. This was my title that I had. I was a ship servant in the first class. That SW means surface warfare. The AW means aviation warfare. And the MTS means master training specialist. In other words, when the ship had got into some issues and like all the captains and everybody fell off, I was equipped to know exactly what to do and how to do it. So I used to be on this very, very small ship. And I don't know if you all ever watched like Miami Vice, but you would see those little small speed boats coming through and they were trying to smuggle cocaine and stuff into the states and whatever. Our responsibility was to try to stop them from doing those things. Now, we also had to go and get on these large ships. And sometimes when they think they're slick by taking the speedboat, sometimes they put a whole lot of drugs and cocaine and stuff on a lot of these large freighters, right? And so now we got situations where we got to get off our boat, get into a small boat to go and get on their boat. Now, I was on what's called a Tiger Team. And then this Tiger Team, I had to go and get my gun. I had an M16. I had a 9mm right here. I had one right here. I had a Rambo knife over here. I had a bulletproof vest on. I had all this other kind of stuff. But the most important thing is I had somebody that was going with me. I had to make sure that somebody could cover me when I was getting ready to go up in there. I had to make sure that when I went in there, somebody was going to be able to look out for the things that I couldn't see for myself. I had to make sure that I didn't just choose anybody. It had to be somebody that I could trust with my life. It couldn't just be any random individual that was right there because they don't understand what it is that I'm trying to do. But it had to be somebody that I knew that was going to have my back in a time of crisis. Amen. So I'm sitting around walking, trying to make sure what's going on, and I needed somebody, and there was a phrase that we use, you better watch your six. So I got your six, which means that everything that's behind me that I can't see, somebody else is going to be able to take care of that. This little slide over here, when I can't see what's going on, I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because that individual is making sure that those things are being taken care of. And so now we're sitting on this boat, and I got all these enemies coming back. So I'm like, man, I try to tell one guy, bam, got him. And just as I'm getting ready to step right here, somebody getting ready to get me. But thank God that somebody was covering me, because they was able to intercept that very thing that's getting ready to get me once I got to that point. How many of y'all know that you need that in your life? You need somebody that's going to be able to cover you in a time of crisis. You're going to need somebody that's going to be able to take care of you in your time of struggle. You need somebody to take care of you in your time of need. And that's why I'm so glad. That's why I'm so glad when I look back at the story and Jonathan said, hey, look here, don't wake up the army. He said, don't wake up Saul. He said, because Saul ain't thinking right and his spirit is all wrong. And I believe that's the problem we got with a lot of people in our lives right now. Their spirit ain't right and their spirit is all wrong. I think God is trying to separate us from those toxic people. Amen. I believe that God is trying to say, look here, I need you to get away from those whose spirit is bad. I need you to get away from these people who mean no good to you. You can ask the person sitting next to you that, you can say, hey, look here, I know that you were good for where I've been, but the question is, are you good for where I'm trying to go? So I know you're good for where I came from, but are you really good for where I'm trying to go? Because I ain't got time for folk to be sitting around stabbing me in the back. I ain't got time to be worried about folk wondering around if you really, really with me or not. I ain't got time to come to church praying and wondering if you really, really mean what you say. I ain't got time for your platitudes and everything else that you think that because you say this in front of everybody yet, but your actions don't even speak of it. Amen. I ain't got time for you to say one thing, but yet you need another. I just wish that we could stand in agreement today. Why? Because we need somebody to cover us. Amen. We got some serious issues, you know. I want to have somebody that, Miss Virginia, if I tell my problems to, are you going to go and tell somebody else? You know, I need somebody that if I can come in agreement with, I want to be able to just tell them some things without worrying about whether or not they're going to come back and stab me in the back. I want to be able to come in agreement with people who feels like, man, wait a minute. Wait just one moment. I'm really going to stand in agreement with them. Why? Because I trust this individual, and I trust what they're doing in the Lord. You know, I really, really want to get to that point. Why? Because I believe what the Word says. I believe when the Word says one can put 1,000 to flight, it turned around and said two can put 10,000 to flight. But guess what? If all of us can come together right now, then I don't believe the devil has a chance. The devil can't stand a chance if all of us come together right now and do what we have to do, which is come in agreement with one another. How many of you are willing to be there for somebody else? You have to. You have to. You have to be there. Guess what? You have to be at a place in your life where you say, you know what? If I'll pray for you, but I need you to also pray for me. Why? Because I got a devil I'm getting ready to fight. And I ain't going to sit around and let him destroy my house. I'm not going to sit around and let him destroy my family. I'm not going to sit around and let him destroy my children. I'm going to sit out there and I'm going to fight. What you did not know about Puffy and Duffy is that once we had that fight, they never attacked me again. They never came back again because I sat there and I fought. You got to be in a position in your life where you're willing to fight and not just fight. You need to bring somebody along with you, or you need to go along with somebody else. That's why I can say, you know, with confidence that, yes, I'm going to cover you when you go in. Because you need those things. I need somebody that's going to cover me when I go in. I need somebody that's going to cover me. I need somebody that will say, you know what, man, if I'll pray for your health and you pray for my finances. Amen. I'll pray for your kids and you pray for me a job. Amen. I'll pray for this if you pray for that. But I just need somebody to cover me. I just need somebody. I just need anybody. I need you all that when you are at your altar, when you bow before the Lord, you can remember me. Remember that I got pain in my body. Remember that I got all these issues going on. Remember that I got finances that need to be taken care of. Remember that I got all these issues that exist, but I need somebody to cover me. I need somebody to do that. And so now we close it out and say, the Philistines said, hey, look here. He said, come up. He said, hey, the Philistines, like, oh, yeah, yeah, we got it. He said, come on. They said, come on up here. And then he looked at his armor bearer. He said, that's like, come here, Brother Norm. Come here, Brother Norm. Come here. He said, that's IQ. He said, we can't wait another moment. He said, why? Because his spirit is all wrong. Now, we got to get ready to go up there. We got to go and destroy this. We got to go and destroy this one army. So the Bible said that Jonathan, he got on his hands and his knees, y'all, and he began to climb that rock. My question is this, how low will you go to go and get victory? How low will you go to go and get your family back? How low will you go to find joy in the Lord again? And so now Jonathan is at a place where he started getting up there, and in the heat of battle, he starts swinging his sword. He didn't have time to look at the details. He didn't have the time to try to figure out who was who. He got up to there, and he starts swinging his sword. And guess what? People say, well, what the armor bearer was doing? I don't know what he was doing, but he was standing right there getting ready to cover Jonathan. And so as Jonathan was getting ready fighting, and he was swinging the sword, he was killing them. The Bible records that he was slaying them. And here's what I love the most. The Bible then comes back and says, guess what? And the ones that the armor bearer was slaying, When Jonathan was slammed, when he was slaying them and falling down, if they did not die, the armor bearer came by and killed them. He came by and killed them behind them. He came by and he killed them. He say, man, so you got to ask yourself, he say, look here, you can tell the person sitting next to you, you say, man, look here, if you start it, guess what? I'll finish it. That's what you have to be. You have to be in that kind of place where you don't worry about the detail. You just hit them and you keep it moving. You hit them and you keep it moving. He went up there and started killing them people. And guess what? Next thing you know, the armor bearer came behind and whatever didn't fall, he said, guess what? You better not get up. Why? Because I know that you are a man of God. I'm going to cover you. I need you to go and do what you got to do, because this is in your heart. How many of y'all willing to come behind somebody and say, you know what? When they started, I'm going to finish it. Amen. And so you just got to keep hitting them. You don't worry about everything that's going on in life. You got to say, you know what? I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the situation. I know we're outnumbered. But God told us, guess what? If they call us up there, we're already guaranteed the victory. So all you got to do is pull your sword out and say, man, we're going to step up and we're not going to concern ourselves with anything that they got going on. Why? Because we're already victorious. We're already victorious. See, I don't have to worry about the details. Why? Because I got somebody covering me. I don't even have to look back. I don't have to worry about what's going on. I know that when I'm at home praying that he's overdoing what he needs to do. I know that when God has calling me to give, do something, he's doing exactly what he needs to do. Now you got to ask yourself, are you doing the same thing? Are you positioning yourself to do the same thing? Or are you finding discord? Guess what? If you want to, go and join the Philistine camp if you want to. But I need somebody that's going to cover me. I need somebody that's going to pray for me. I need somebody that's going to say, you know what? I don't care what my situation looks like. I'm getting ready to go into battle. And I'm going to use this word of God. Why? Because the word of God, and I'm going to use it because Jesus did it. When the devil started telling them, hey, look here, I want you to turn water around. Jesus said, no, look here, I got a word. I got a sword. And everything that proceeded out of my mouth is that thing right there. Man should not live off bread alone. But guess what? He said, this is what he does. I know that this word of God is the thing that's going to make us through. I know that right now, and you think about it, this sword, that's our only offensive weapon. They didn't go up there with no shields. They didn't go up there with anything else. They went up there with their sword, and he was killing them. And the armor bearer was doing what he had to do. So you ought to thank God right now for an armor bearer in your life. You ought to thank God that somebody in your life comes alongside you and said, do what's in thy heart. You need to thank God right now that God positioned you to walk along with somebody that ain't going to worry about all the other stuff, but they're going to say, you know what? I'm with you no matter what. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God. I'm just so glad that the armor bearer was able to finish what he was able to do. Go ahead and be seated, bro. You probably didn't know I was going to call you up here, but neither did I. But I thank God for an armor bearer. I thank God for a willing spirit. I thank God that he wasn't apprehensive about coming up here. I thank God that sometimes when you call on somebody to do something, you won't worry about the details. You just go and do what needs to be done. Amen. You don't have to worry about getting the glory. You don't have to worry about the attention. You know, and I thank God that Jonathan was still able to do what he was able to do in spite of the forfeiture that had taken place in his life. And if you read the Bible, you'll find out that Jonathan and David were really, really, really tight. In spite of that, he could have been bitter. He could have complained. But how many of you are so glad that you got a armor bearer in your life? Amen. Yeah. How many of you glad, even more glad, that you can be an armor bearer to somebody else? Amen. This is why I love God. You know, so as I close, my point is this. I want us to be at a place where we can get ourselves an armor bearer. And we want to be intentional about being an armor bearer for others. Why? Because the job of an armor bearer is very, very important. What does an armor bearer do? They provide protection. An armor bearer provides support. An armor bearer will help bear the load. An armor bearer doesn't say, man, the armor bearer doesn't give Jonathan a hard time. The armor bearer doesn't try to go against the very grain of what Jonathan was trying to do. The armor bearer said, you know what, if God called you to do this, I'm going to come alongside you and I'm going to make it happen. So guess what? I trust your vision. That's what the armor bearer says. I trust your vision even when it doesn't seem to make sense to me right now. I trust your vision even if I feel like I can do it a little bit better. I trust your vision. How many are willing to trust his vision? Amen. Now, we can't just talk about it. We have to be about it. Amen. You can't just say it but not mean it. And you can't leave out here and say, well, you know, I don't care what he say. I ain't doing it, you know. Then you're not truly an armor bearer. I need somebody that's going to cover me. Cover me with your prayers. Who's going to speak on my behalf unto God when I can't speak for myself? That's what I need. When you talk about helping bearing this load, this is a load that has to be carried. Last statement, I think we all need to armor bearers. We all need armor bearers. And just as importantly, we need to be armor bearers for other people. So what am I saying? Somebody cover me because I'm going in. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for this message, oh God, although short and succinct, oh God, a message that truly, I believe, got us point across, oh Heavenly Father. One that will cause us to reflect on our walk with you, oh God, and our walk with others, oh Heavenly Father. One that will cause us to walk alongside someone, oh God, whom you have given a vision, oh great God, and cause us to do and follow, oh God. Cause us to truly follow, oh God. If you planted this individual in this particular body, oh God, then we're just going to trust the vision that you have given them, oh great God. We need you so much, oh God. Maybe there's misunderstanding, oh God, but we just trust that you can clear all those things up. Maybe there are things that we don't understand and maybe even can't comprehend, but I just believe that we're in positions right now, oh God, to trust you, oh God. And to trust you, oh God, means that we can trust them. And so now, oh God, as we continue to reflect on what it is that you do, we just honor you this day, and we pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Let's spend